You're listening to SBS News.
It's been a long time tactic of war, and Ukraine is no different. But the Russian government has labelled allegations of sexual violence by its military forces in Ukraine as lies after they were raised at a meeting of the UN Security Council. Vasily Nebenzia, the Russian ambassador, denied the accusations, saying the allegations are unfounded, then stormed out of the meeting. The United Nations says more than 100 acts of sexual violence have occurred in Ukraine since Russian forces invaded, and warned that further risk of trafficking is alarmingly evident. Along with the UN, the Ukrainian Women's Fund says human rights activists and law enforcement agencies estimate that hundreds of offences have been committed by Russian forces. Pramila Patton, the UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict, addressed the Security Council.
From the outset of this conflict, heightened risk of trafficking in persons, including for the purpose of sexual exploitation and prostitution, have been alarmingly evident. The lack of consistent vetting of accommodation offers and transportation arrangements is a serious concern, as well as the limited capacity of protection services to address the velocity and volume of displacement. As of 3rd of June, the Human Rights Monitoring Team of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights has received reports of 124 alleged acts of conflict-related sexual violence occurring against women, girls, men and boys.
The United States Justice Department has ordered the seizure of two aircraft owned by Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich, saying they'd been used in violation of sanctions on Russia imposed over its invasion of Ukraine. The move, announced by the Justice Department's New York division, took aim at one of the wealthiest Russian billionaires, who has already been forced to sell Chelsea Football Club in the wake of the invasion of Ukraine. Meanwhile, officials at the US State Department have condemned recent Russian attacks on civilian infrastructure and targets in Ukraine. State Department spokesman Ned Price has described the attack as senseless.
The attacks that we've seen in recent days, however, of course, are not limited to the capital. The US Embassy in Kyiv noted that Russia's bombardment hit a historic Orthodox monument in Donetsk in eastern Ukraine, a sacred site in Ukraine that had served as a refuge, a place of refuge for fleeing civilians since the brutal war in Ukraine began. These attacks have been senseless, what appear to be senseless affronts to Ukraine's people, to Ukraine's government as well.
While Severodonetsk, a key industrial city, remained the main target of the Russian offensive in Ukraine's east, villages in the region were being shelled by Russian troops, continuing their offensive to capture Luhansk and Donetsk provinces, collectively known as Donbas. According to Ukraine's national police, one person was killed and one injured about 100 kilometres west of Severodonetsk on Sunday after being hit by Grad rockets and artillery. Residents sifted through the rubble of their destroyed homes, including this woman.
I do not even know where to start. I am standing here looking, but I have no idea what to do. I start crying, I calm down, then I cry again and again.
Russia says it's on a mission to liberate the Donbas region, which has been partly held by separatist proxies of Moscow since 2014, after Ukrainian forces pushed its troops back from the capital Kyiv and Ukraine's second biggest city, Kharkiv, in the war's early stages. President Volodymyr Zelensky on Monday said Ukrainian forces had been holding their positions amid fierce fighting in the region.
The Russian army is trying to deploy additional forces in the Donbas region, but it is the 103rd day and the Ukrainian Donbas stands. It stands firmly. We are doing everything for their defense in the Zaporizhia and Mykolaiv directions as well.
Russia has begun turning over the bodies of Ukrainian fighters killed at the Azovstal steelworks in the destroyed city of Mariupol, where their last-ditch stand became a symbol of resistance against the Kremlin's invasion. Dozens of the dead taken from the bombed-out mills, now Russian-occupied ruins, have been transferred to the Ukrainian capital Kyiv, where DNA testing is underway to identify the remains. Meanwhile, injured Ukrainian military personnel show the toll the war is taking on the people of Ukraine. On the front lines of the Bakhmut area, part of the Donetsk region, volunteer paramedics push to respond to calls from the army to evacuate injured soldiers as well as civilians. The group of medics say they often come under shelling themselves before they hide in the woods. A volunteer medic who goes by the name of Skiff says the majority of the soldiers report wounds caused by heavy artillery fire.
So many hurt people, so many warriors die. All our warriors told only one thing: we haven't weapons, we haven't supplies, we haven't ammo. Russian army very big. 19% of trauma it's mortars. Today we have two injured people on the head, one people without leg. Give a treatment, but that's very difficult.
And the International Atomic Energy Agency's chief, Rafael Grossi, says he's working on sending an international team of experts to carry out safety checks at a Russian-held nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia. Mr. Grossi has described working and security conditions at the plant as gravely concerning. The nuclear plant, the biggest in Europe, was damaged by nearby fighting in early March. Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.